Tower of Power on the Dusty Show. What is hip? Remember this one? Fabio remembers. I can tell. 1973. Tower of Power.
Your commands I obey, for it is under your dominion that I live. There is no silvered gauntlet to be thrown. The mist on the mountain is lovely, and I shall miss the mists, Lord, your beautiful mists.
Yes.
I shall ride in the morning, Lord.
No.
On my horse I shall ride.
No.
Why can't I ride, Lord? For I love my pony.
You are too old to ride.
I'm too old to ride, is that what you said, Lord?
Yes.
I don't feel as if I'm too old to ride, Lord. I'm not too old to ride. I'm hale and hearty. My cheeks are ruddy, Lord.
You shall not ride.
I shall not ride, Lord.
No.
Your tone, Lord, is so severe. Mightn't you not tone it down a bit, Lord?
No.
All right,
no.
All right,
no.
All right, all right, all right, Lord. As you wish, Lord, as you wish. I will do your bidding as you wish. Eat the lamb chop from the dish. Take the worm back from the fish. From the horse tail, take the swish, Lord. And from Igan, take the mish. From the pumpkin, Lord, take the gish. I will do your bidding as you wish. Yes, Lord, I will do your bidding. But first, I must venture into the village, Lord.
No.
Lord, Lord, I don't think you understand, Lord. A man needs things, Lord. A man needs things.
Things?
Yes, yes, Lord. Things.
What are these things of which you speak?
Just little things, Lord, really. They're just little items which help me pass the time. Like cigarettes and candies, lamb chops and wine. Wean snakes, starlings, eggs, a box of macaroni. But to get into town I shall need my pony. Lord, oh my divine Lord, is that all you can say? No. He lives in a world of no. Oh yes, my Lord does. My Lord does. And we who are down below, sometimes we suffer because we want to please him so that we let ourselves go. And our needs, Lord, our needs, like my need to ride the pony. Why would you let me ride the pony? Why would you let me ride? Why would you let me ride the pony? Why would you let me ride? I only want to ride the pony, Lord. I only want to ride the pony. I only want to ride the pony, Lord. I only want to ride the pony. Look at him in the pasture, Lord. Lonely pony has none to ride him. No, let me see if I understand you, Lord. Did you say the boy?
Yes.
No, no, Lord. The boy is much too irresponsible to take care of the pony.
The girl.
Did you say, Lord? The girl.
Yes.
The girl is too enamored with her dolls, Lord. Her dolls to take care of the pony.
She loves the pony.
Oh, yes, they all love the pony when it suits them. But when he needs hay, they shy away. They say we'll come back and ride him some bright sunny day. When I'm shoveling out his filthy stall, there's no one to help me at all. Cause everybody likes the fun part. The riding, the rest they find far less exciting. The shoveling they are not delighting in. The pitchfork stands alone again, as lonely as the pony. You won't let me ride. If it is your wish, Lord, I shan't ride the pony. But know this, Lord, I shall be lonesome for him. I shall miss riding him.
Yes.
But it shan't diminish my love for you, Lord. Somewhere inside, I have always loved you, Lord. All your mountains, rivers, and streams. You have fulfilled my wildest dreams. That's why I must thank you, Lord.
Dusty Show Clay Pigeon with you all the way. From Adelaide, Australia, it's Angel City. From 1978, the face-to-face album, Marseille.
Take the chance, got nothing to lose. Give me the sign.
City. Dusty Show. Check. What's your first name?
Tyler.
Tyler, do you pay attention to politics?
Yeah, I watch.
Are you a Bernie fan? What's your story?
I'm not really a fan of anybody. The most interesting thing is to observe the election, because it seems to me the reason guys like Trump and Bernie are involved is because everybody's so tired of what's going on. They want something different.
What people call the same old thing in Washington. So, it looks like we're narrowing it down to Trump and Hillary at this point. Would you favor one of those candidates? Would you actually vote for them in the fall?
It's kind of tough. I'm from Arkansas, so I think Hillary's probably not a morally stand-up person, whereas Trump might not be the smartest guy around to make decisions. So, I don't know.
Hey, you're from Arkansas. What do they feel about the Clintons down there? Mixed emotions?
I think they're still well-liked, but probably distrusted.
Are you hopeful for the future of the country?
Yeah, absolutely.
What keeps
you
that way?
A lot of places in the world, and America's one of the greatest countries. All you have to do is go to most other places to see how much opportunity there is here. Right? There's a lot of stuff, but it's unfair to compare America to the perfect utopia that we might have, right? It's never going to be perfect, but it's getting pretty darn close.
Thanks for your time, man. Here's my card.
And when I'm one-on-one with Hillary, she will be, as I said, easier to take down, much easier to beat. And frankly, if Hillary Clinton were a man, I don't think she'd get 5% of the vote. The only thing she's got going is the woman's card. And the beautiful thing is, women don't like her. Okay? Okay.
Here's Jersey City's own Queen Latifah.
Brother, call a girl a bitch or a hoe. Trying to make a sister feel low. You know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring breath to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cutoff shorts on, right? Cause it was crazy hot. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. Yeah. I turned around red, somebody was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break the block. I punched him dead in his eyes.
Who you calling a bitch?
U-N-I-G-Y.
I guess I fell so deep in love, I grew dependency. I was too blind to see just how it was affecting me. All that I knew is you was all the man I had. And I was scared to let you go, even though you treated me bad. But I don't wanna see my kids see me getting beat down by daddy smacking mommy all around. You say I'm nothing without you, but I'm nothing with you. A man don't really love you if he hits you. Yeah. This is my notice to the tool, I'm not taking it no more. I'm not your personal whore, that's not what I'm here for. Ain't nothing good gon' come to you till you do right by me. Brother, you waiting
sick. Who you calling a bitch?
U-N-I-G-Y.
forgot how good Queen Latifah is with the rapping. Nice phraseology. Narragansett, Rhode Island. This is John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band from Eddie and the Cruisers. I guess they were pretty well known before the movie. Sold 10,000 units of this album going up and down the coast. I like it. Tender Years, Jersey Feel. Not the big man. They had that Bruce sound, though, didn't they? They pleased audiences, though, in the Northeast. I forgive them. This sounds nice. Tender Years. John Cafferty, Beaver Brown, Dusty Show. Sean G says, I remember On the Dark Side. It's another good one.
Plump and full,
so moist and red.
Their lips were full and red and moist.
Their lips were full and red and moist.
And plump, most of all they were plump, they were plump.
I like this from Nigeria. 1978, the album Atomic Bomb. This is William Onyeabor. Better change your mind, Dusty. Glad you're with me.
America, you ever think this world is yours? Eh? And you, Russia,
nor the one, except God, who owns this world.
So much cool music in Nigeria back in the 70s. You probably heard the compilations. This is one that stuck with me when I filtered through them on Yeabor. Attention to politics?
Yeah, fair enough.
It's kind of an exciting election.
Interesting.
Do you have a candidate that you like, or did they drop out already?
I'm not sure I liked any of them, but there are some I dislike more than others.
What about Trump? How do you feel about it?
He's wacko.
Are you generally more liberal than conservative?
No, I'm generally pretty conservative, but I'd never vote for Trump.
What about Hillary? Would you cross the line for her if it came down to Trump versus Hillary?
Yeah.
Did you like Bernie at all?
He's too far the other way.
Kasich?
I like Kasich.
Are you optimistic about the future of the country?
Reasonably, yes.
What keeps you that way?
I think essentially that it's more the people than the government. You've got a bunch of hardworking people that continue to work hard and have faith that they can do better, so they keep working hard.
Thanks for your time, man. What's your hometown?
South Salem, New York.
South Salem. All right. Here's my card. Show airs at 6 tomorrow.
Now, the other day, Mr. Trump accused me of playing the, quote, woman card. Well, if fighting for women's health care and paid family leave and equal pay is playing the woman card, then deal me in!
That's right. This is Rick Nelson. Remember Ricky Nelson back in the 50s and 60s? In the 70s, he was with the Stone Canyon Band. I like this from 71. This is called Gypsy Pilot on The Dusty Show.
When I was a young boy, my mama told me, son, you gotta keep it together. You know you're the only one. So I tried to see the sunshine.
Chucky's in here. Kurt Gottschalk just stopped in. What an honor. I love you, man.
Love you.
Say it loud.
I love you.
Yeah.
Love you, Clay.
There.
I see the sunshine. Now I feel the rain. And I just want to keep it together. And I hope you feel the same.
Love Chucky. This Rick Nelson's good, isn't it? This is right before Garden Party.
Now I jump in my covered wagon.
I dipped my pants in liquid nitrogen, and then my pants I shattered. My pants I shattered. They had been dipped in liquid nitrogen, and my pants I shattered on the sidewalk. And my pants I shattered.
Sounds so good to me, this old English beat, save it for later. 1982 special beat service. They call them the beat in England, the British beat in Australia. Gotta be taking some of you back. 82. Great song. ATF just says XTC sound alike. Paul Weller, all those cool British guys. We got Mark Farner.
Horse patrols are out there in the middle of the night. My prayer rises over the mountainside in the shining sun. Up there, the prayer had a chance to breathe. And we heard it had a fighting chance.
Donald Trump was born on June 14th, 1946, in the New York City borough of Queens. Trump's father was born in Woodhaven, Queens, to Elizabeth and Frederick Trump, immigrants who moved to the United States from Kallestadt, Germany in 1885. Hillary Diane Rodham was born on October 26, 1947 at Edgewater Hospital in Chicago, Illinois. She was raised in a United Methodist family, first in Chicago and then from the age of three in suburban Park Ridge, Illinois. Her father, Hugh Ellsworth Rodham, was of Welsh and English descent.
Distant, vacuum form, plastic
molding machine, hot surface, dangerous surface vacuum form, Mattel Army helmet, Lincoln logs, Bishop Langley and the Charles City Jazz Band under the direction of Dirk Pearson will now play an arrangement of Carole King's Corazon. There was a T intersection a few miles east of town. The grass grows taller there now. I imagine it in the dark so closely, closely, closer than ever before. The grasses that grow, they're so close to me now. The grasses in the dark and the night alone, and the wind and the chill, the whip of the barbed wire, the singing line, the drifting snow, the deadly cold that takes its dead. In years gone by, remember the souls, each of them somebody, somebody, each of them powdered glove, oiled chap, pliant boot, dirty seat, bandana dirt, sweat, spit, phlegm, wax from ears, saved for years in band-aid boxes, now rusted tin, filled with bitter pennies, bitter pennies, ancient cowboy, dusty doilies, splinters, mumps, diphtheria, scarlet fever, rheumatic fever, tire swing of the old oak tree, the horses are in the barn, chubs jump in the small creek, crawdads skitter in the mud, muskrat mules and terns in the mud, chirrups and grunts so gleefully in the cold weeds, late March, still a bit of ice, and muskrats circling, rusted bicycle, rusted nails, naked feet, summer, rusted nails, naked feet, summer, the foot is lifted, the nail pointed up, below the foot drops onto the rusted nail.
Lockjaw, you're gonna get lockjaw,
'cause you stepped on a rusty nail.
Oh yes, lockjaw, you're gonna get lockjaw,
for it hardly ever fails.
When a man or a woman steps on a nail,
they get lockjaw. The doctor came to treat his lockjaw, but there was nothing that could be done for him. His days are spent now in a dark and locked room. His jaws clenched so tightly, he's broken his teeth. He's sweating and waiting to die.
22 minutes in front of 7. Hardy at the top of the hour with Miracle Nutrition from New York. This is Helmet with Unsung, produced by Steve Albini. 1991, were you there? What were you doing?
Just credit time for
Albini. Gets your sound, doesn't he? Pure integrity. Somebody was a student in Canterbury listening to Helmet in 91. So you said you might vote for Trump.
Yes.
What do you like about it?
I like that he's different, that he's pushy, he's going to change economy, and he's going to put the country on the right track. So we will be number one in the world like we used to be. That's what I like.
What about Obama? You didn't like him?
Obama? I didn't like his health plan. I don't like he wasted money so much for bridges we don't need in the places like 3,000 people live and they spend $3 million to build a beach. I saw it on TV and I don't like that. He's talking a lot, but he doesn't do a lot.
What about the immigrant situation? Do we need to build a wall?
Yes, I think so. I'm an immigrant myself. I came as a refugee about 28 years ago. I came legally here. I have nothing against the people who work hard and do their best for this country, but it has to be legal. A lot of things they do against the law, so this is certain things are terrible.
Where did you come from? What country?
I came from Russia.
From Russia?
Yes.
Do you go back sometime?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I
what do you miss most about Russia?
Nothing a lot. I was visiting Russia because I have some relatives, my mother and my brother lived in Russia, but that's about it. I don't trust Putin at all.
Why do you love the USA so much?
It's a country of opportunity, you know, you work hard, it has a lot of passion, just do your best, believe in your best, and you'll be your best and you achieve everything in your life.
Thanks so much for your time. I wish you the best.
Thank you so much.
Here's my card.
Okay, what
my show airs tomorrow at 6.
God bless the great state of Indiana. After a great deal of time and thought, after a great deal of consideration and prayer, I have come to the conclusion that if I am nominated to be President of the United States, that I will run on a ticket with my vice presidential nominee, Carly Fiorina.
Dwight Yoakam from 86 Guitars Cadillacs on the Dusty Show.
Girl, you taught me how to hurt real bad and cry myself to sleep. Show me how this town shattered dreams. Another lesson about a naive fool who came to Babylon. Found out that the pie don't taste so sweet. Now his guitar hillbilly music, lonely, lonely streets that I call home. Yeah, my guitar's Cadillacs, hillbilly music, the only thing that keeps me hanging on.
Got that old Bakersfield Buck Owens sound. Fantastic.
Glamour in this tinsel land of lost and wasted life. Painted scars all that's left of me. Oh, but thank you, girl, for teaching me brand new ways to be cruel. If I can find my mind now, I guess I'll just leave. And his guitars, Cadillacs, hillbilly music.
I like him in Sling Blade. Ever see him act as a bad guy boyfriend in Sling Blade?
All his guitars, Cadillacs, hillbilly music, lonely, lonely streets that I call home. Yeah, my guitars, Cadillacs, hillbilly music, the only thing that keeps me hanging on. The only thing that keeps me hanging on.
Sing it with me, you guys. Come on now.
It's the only thing that keeps me hanging on.
Ah, yeah.
Paul White sits in a hard wooden chair, staring at the wall in front of him, and he sighs. After a few hours, a single ant emerges from a crack in the wall. Paul sees it. His eyes track the ant as it walks across the wall. Paul's afraid of the ant. He doesn't dare touch it. The ant falls, and Paul lifts his legs reflexively up and off the floor. He loses sight of the ant, and Paul feels dismay. What if it is crawling up his chair leg now, its whispering legs, a flawless sextet of movement, bringing the ant ever closer? Paul rises to his feet, and he runs up the stairs and into his room. He sits on the edge of his bed with his feet pulled up under his haunches. There's an old television set in front of him, but Paul doesn't watch it anymore. He lights a cigarette, a Camel. There's Joe Camel. Joe Camel. He lights it and he smokes it in his room with the door closed. The ant must not enter. Paul is afraid of the ant. Paul sleeps in a sealed plastic comfort bag, a silver one made especially for him. He sweats at night in the hot bag. He sweats so much it's not good. There are holes in the walls of his house, holes made by shotgun blasts, as Paul tries again and again, unsuccessfully, to rid his home of the ant. The ant! How Paul hates it. The dreadful ant with its biting black mandibles and its distorted and swollen thorax. So swollen, mightn't it burst? And millions of other horrible antlings come tumbling forth, all skittling at him. Paul can't stand for that. And so he keeps close watch for the ant. Sometimes the Orkin man comes by, but he can't find the ant. He says there are no ants that he can see. He cocks his head at Paul and looks at him. Paul leaves the lights on at night. He engages the insect detection system, which has been custom made for his protection. Should the ant encroach while Paul is asleep, all manner of alarms and buzzers will wake him and warn him of its advance. Feeling safe, Paul closes his eyes and soon he is dreaming,
dreaming, dreaming.
A dream filled with vivid colors, all reds and pinks, just a few yellows and whites. In his dream, he is wearing a white outfit, white pants and shirt, a white cap. His shoes are also white, made of soft patent leather. They're shiny. He sees his own face in them, and he's pleased with his reflection. For a short time, the dream is pleasant enough. And then something changes, doesn't it? It always changes. The light takes on a sickly green aspect. The air thickens and chills, and it has a smell, an awful dying molded smell. An odd sense of dread envelops Paul in his dream, wrapping him in a black pall of hopelessness and fear, placing its frozen knuckles on him. Oh, Paul is almost paralyzed.
he can scarcely move, and when he does, his limbs are leaden and uncooperative. All colors are draining away. Now, and then, listen. Paul can hear the tiniest clittering down the darkened hallway in the shadows, the tiniest little weightless ciliated legs, so disgusting, all clicking and clittering ant steps as it moves its horrid legs to propel it ever nearer to Paul. It's coming to bite him. This is clear. The skittering, the scuttling, the dirty clittering, the ant. No, no, Paul wants to run, but now he is completely unable to move. Even his eyes refuse to close, and he is forced to watch the ant emerge from the shadows and come into the light, illuminated well by a dangling Westinghouse 35-watt light bulb, which bathes the ant's busy movements in a soft illumination. Did the ant grow? Then did it grow 6 feet long, shiny and wriggling, looking at him, Paul, there in his chair, the ant coming nearer and nearer, 7, 8 feet long, its girth expanding, 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 expanding. He tries to wrest himself from his dream. He writhes on his bed, he moans and twitches. He imagines its diseased pincers, ant pincers piercing the soft flesh of his neck. He imaches the dull after ache of the bite until he becomes convinced that he has been bitten, at which time he cries out in anger and distress, "Off of me!" The ant is on him, on him. Paul screams in his bed. Ah! He wakes up. He's perspiring so badly in his bag he can hear a little sloshing of spent sweat swishing around in the deepest recesses of that custom-made sleeping sack.
All right.
He's awake now.
Right.
He's safe, yet he can still feel the dread presence of the ant in the room, lingering as might scentless smoke, spindling tendrils of fear wrapping themselves around him, the ant's miniature specter, ounce for ounce more fearful than any fanged mammal or solid ghoul. Make a note of it, please, for it is important. It had been there in Paul's room. It had the ant, and mightn't it still not be there in the cuff of his pajama leg, in the deep red hair on his chest? Paul rubs his chest hard to dislodge it, but he cannot see it. The little son of a... He cannot see it. Paul rises to his feet and he runs downstairs. He nearly falls as his socks surf across the medium pile, as might skates on good ice. Out in front of him, his feet fly. He gasps at it, pinwheels in the air, and grazes his head on the banister, not bad enough to bruise or cut. Then Paul finds his footing. By God's good grace, he finds his footing, and he does not fall. I did not fall! I did not fall! Paul sees his chair beside the wall. It calls to him in its way. Come, sit by me and forget all the bothersome things. Come sit, Paul. Come sit. We'll watch for the ant. Paul looks at the chair and then he turns away from it. The park, he says suddenly. He'll go to the park, take a walk, change things up, leave his chair, leave the ant, for a moment anyway, just for a moment. It's chilly outside when Paul steps out. He doesn't like the cold. And despite his thick sunglasses, the sun is, well, it's still too bright. Too bright. He returns home and removes his jacket. Why does he feel so guilty as he walks to to his chair. Is it so wrong to sit in it? On its firm seat, he thinks, this is better, sitting here. This is better than being out there. No one likes me, Paul thinks. No one likes me. No one likes me. No one likes me. Stop that. Paul stares at the wall for a long, long, long time. For hours and hours. And then, eventually, there he is. The ant crawls out from the crack in the wall. It tilts its tiny head. It seems to consider Paul carefully before it moves out, following its own pre-laid pheromone trail. Paul watches it. He watches it as the fear inside of him builds and builds. And there's nothing he can do about it. The ant falls from the wall. Paul lifts his legs to pull his feet up under him.
WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Thanks for listening to The Dusty Show. Hardy's next. The TNP to follow. This is Prince. Always remember.
Any person or object whatsoever that requires your attention is something that has veered from its path and preordained destiny of total enlightenment.
I never wanted a typical life. Scripted role, trophy wife. All I ever wanted to be left alone. See my bed's made up at night, cause in my dreams I roam. Trying to find my way back home. So many reasons why. There's so many reasons why I don't belong here. But now that I am mine, without fear I am gonna conquer with no fear until I find my way back home. Until I
who can raise a child like me. The path was set, but if you look, the truth will set us free. I've heard about those happy endings, but still a mystery. Let me tell you about me. I'm happiest when I can see.
Prince, I After Bowie, I just wasn't ready for Prince. How about you? Take me a while to feel it. It's a heavy influence on a lot of musicians from that time. Just too soon. He had stuff left to do. Will Paisley Park be the next Graceland? I'm reading about all kinds of crazy stuff. Always remember Prince. Party's next, the TNP. Thanks for listening to The Dusty Show. See you next week at 6. Clay Pigeon saying always remember.
With Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, while we feast together and try to bring some order to that feast so that we have an underlying wire mommy structure on which to hang the terry cloth towel of our expectations. And just entertain one another. To pass the time on the ship of life. Pass the bread of affliction, please. I'm gonna make me a Hillel Sammy.
Not yet, it's not time. Things happen in a certain order.
Thanks for inviting me to your Seder, Butchie.
My pleasure.
I knew about the first and second night Seder on Passover, but I didn't know about the second to last night.
Penultimate Seder is mostly just a tradition in my family. We come from a different sect.
Are your people Ashkenazic or Sephardic?
Neither. They're cathartic.
A good one.
I'm not kidding. I have an ancestor who was a West African who became a Cathar Perfect in southern France in the 12th century.
Wow.
And when the Cathar persecution started, he was rescued by a French Kabbalist and his family. He converted and went on to start a family with that rabbi's daughter. His name was Ben Lacou, and my family tradition descends from him, and it's different than most other families' nights.
I find that hard to believe.
No, I traveled back in time in my time machine and verified it.
Oh, okay.
So listen up. First, we bless the wine.
I don't see any wine.
Not supposed to be. We pretend. Wine looks too much like blood. Now I explain the Seder plate.
What's that thing that looks like a cigar?
Oh, whoops. That's my cigar. Let me put it aside. First, we have the chocolate. That represents Abraham.
This is not how I learned it.
Of course not.
Why Abraham?
He represents love.
Oh, that's nice. I wish they all did.
No, you don't. You can OD on that stuff, love and chocolate. Especially bad for dogs who don't know when to stop. Love can be stifling. You don't want to be ridden along by Father Abraham.
Ridden?
Yeah, we cathartics believe that the patriarchs are literally beings that inhabit another dimension. They represent a characteristic entirely, like an archetype. But they're a sort of powerful angel that could possess people.
Okay, now, you realize this is not really Judaism.
It's how I was raised, man. I'm sharing my traditions.
Question. I enjoy eating. When do we do that?
Okay, I guess we can skip parts. Let's go straight to the eating of the coriander.
Oh, cilantro.
If you like it, it's sort of a genetic test. If you don't like it, we can tell you're not in the family, and you have to do a lap around the table.
Well, I like it. I like it okay. What's it represent?
The libertarian left or anarcho-syndicalism.
Really?
My family sees the entire Exodus story as a lesson in political evolution. From monarchy to constitutional monarchy to democratic revolution and back to monarchy. What do you think the potato with the face drawn on it was for?
Freedom? Why are we wearing these white robes, Butchie?
It's a kittle. It's what you wear when you're dead.
Ooh, that's spooky.
Why do we want to appear dead?
So the spirits won't possess us. They only go for the living. If they think you're dead, they'll leave you alone.
So, I've been to a Seder before. Are we going to do the four questions?
Why do you ask?
I was just curious.
Do you think that's a good reason?
I don't know.
How do you expect your question to be answered?
I hadn't really thought about it.
What if you don't get an answer?
I'll be disappointed.
Thanks, Lou. You really have been to a Seder before. Now, moving on from the four questions, we point out that Abraham food is powerful but can be dangerous, even murderous. Isaac food is dispassionate and disconnected. Dispassion can be dangerous and make you blind. Jacob foods are the best, balanced and powerful, but without direction. We turn to Joseph foods tonight that we may live in Egypt.
I thought this was about leaving Egypt.
We have to get there before we can leave. Eat your banana.
Mmm, good banana.
You can roll it and crush pecans if you want. Continuing. Moses could have inspired a violent revolution and left Egypt without any Egyptian children dying. But the people did not want to go. Eat the strawberry of stubbornness. No, like this, the whole thing.
Even the green part?
Whole thing. Moses had to wait until a bunch of awful things happened to Pharaoh's people, then he blamed his own people for it in a risky move so that Pharaoh would throw them out and the people had no choice but to leave.
Now, this is decidedly not biblical, Butchie.
Never said it was. My father said the best stories start discussions.
Okay.
So the Pharaoh kicked them out into the desert, where they were free.
But unsafe.
Freedom is a desert. Blessed is the place. Say amen and eat the lemon.
I like that there's fruit.
And now we sing a song. A right hand and a left hand, you have them both, you see. And when you start them clapping, you suddenly have three. But clapping isn't music, but music it can be. If you have legs to dance around, then suddenly you're free.
Oh, fun!
I like that song. You guys never did that?
No.
Okay, here's where we dance ecstatically for hours.
I don't know.
Well, how are you gonna get into a trance then?
Can we do the less mystical version?
Okay, let's go straight to the celebratory meal.
What's the main course?
Rice.
And?
Just rice, cooked rice.
Okay.
You don't like it?
No, I like rice. Nothing with it, though?
Well, yeah, you can imagine anything you like. That's the whole point. We like to keep it a blank canvas. Too much food variety, and it would cut off your taste imagination.
Do I have that?
Sure. Try not having food for a while. You can imagine a piece of bread being a steak.
All right, rice it is. Can I freshen anybody's imaginary wine?
Top me off, please.
I'm good. I have to pretend to drive later. My rice tastes like super good rice. Yeah, mine tastes like veal.
You're lying. That's sick.
Oh, sorry. Mine tastes like, cigar.
Oh, there it is again. It keeps getting away from me. You guys are gonna love dessert.
What is it, more rice?
No, smart guy. It's a flourless chocolate cake.
Well, what does that represent?
What does it represent? It represents a whole morning of shopping and baking for you guys.
Oh, thanks, Butchie.
Hey, don't tell anybody what went on here. My family has been taking a bunch of grief on all sides for our religious tradition for years.
Well, they seem harmless.
Yeah, I wish. But people really hate it when you believe something different than them, but related. It's like playing country music. It's never the right kind for some people.
Oh, don't I know it.
Some people don't want you to even do things in private because it's so wrong it ruins it for them somehow.
Well, I won't tell anybody.
I still think we're cheating ourselves by not dancing.
Dancing makes you free. Indeed.
At least let me put on some music. Here.
Oh, hey, is that Freedom Rock?
No, it's just some record I got for free.
Oh, then I guess don't bother to turn it up then, man.
Speaking of freedom, we forgot to pass the Freedom Cup.
What's that? We drink something?
No, we tell the cup something that's holding us back from being free.
Why tell the cup?
You have a problem with that?
No, I was just wondering.
Tell it to the cup. Here, you go first.
Well, what do I do?
Just talk into the cup and tell it what you'd like to be rid of to feel freer.
Okay. I'll try. Hey, hello, cup? Pride.
Say, my fear and overprotective self-love is keeping me from breaking free.
My fear and overprotective self-love is keeping me from breaking free.
Very good. Lou?
Same.
No, you have to think about it.
My fear of rejection is like a pharaoh, under whose control I am comfortable but enslaved. Help me break free.